Support for this podcast comes from Avature ATS, an applicant tracking system that redefines user experience for candidates, recruiters, and hiring managers. Just listen to one of the many ways in which L'Oréal USA has improved their hiring process with Avature, as told by Edward Dias, Director of Recruitment Intelligence and Innovation.
Since we've been using Avature ATS globally, we have been able to massively improve our communication rate with candidates during and following their application. Before, over a million people worldwide would never get contacted. But with this smart automation and flexible processes, we've been able to change that. And that's been a huge achievement.
Visit avature.net, that's AVATURE.net, to learn why global market leaders like L'Oréal choose Avature to extend the candidate experience from shoulder tap to first day.
There's been more of scientific discovery, more of technical advancement and material progress in your lifetime and mine than in all the ages of history.
Hi everyone, this is Matt Alder. Welcome to episode 225 of the Recruiting Future podcast. Hiring ex-service personnel, or veteran hiring if you're in the US, is a topic that gets nowhere near as much bandwidth as it deserves. So how should employers be behaving and communicating to effectively tap into this incredible talent pool? My guest this week is Tim Redfern, Managing Director, Defence at AAMI. In the interview, Tim talks about his own experience transitioning his career after leaving the Royal Navy, the broader challenges facing ex-forces personnel, and shares some excellent advice to employers. Thanks to SAFA, the Armed Forces charity, for their help setting up the interview as part of their Friendly to Forces campaign, an initiative to encourage employers to show their willingness and support to hire forces leavers. Hi, Tim, and welcome to the podcast.
Nice to be here, Matt. Good to speak to you.
An absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Could you just introduce yourself and tell everyone what you do?
Sure, Matt. Hi, my name is Tim Redfern. I'm the Managing Director for Defence in AAMI. And we have a number of quite large contracts in defence with the MOD. We look after all of the UK MOD defence estate, from barracks to runways to bunkers to hospitals. We also look after 51,000 of the married quarters in old parlance. And we also look after the MOD main building. And we run a joint venture which looks after 2,300 vehicles worldwide for the British Army.
Fantastic. So could you tell us a little bit about your sort of background story and how you got to do what you do now?
So I had a quick 8 years in the Royal Navy. I found myself in Hong Kong, having had a great time, learned a lot about leadership, about people, managing stress in difficult situations. And then made a transition out of the Royal Navy, say, in 1997 in Hong Kong into industry. And from there, I've been working in sort of defence outsourcing the last about 17, 18 years. And I think actually the transition out of armed forces, no matter how long or short you've done, is very difficult, very challenging. And you end up, it's difficult because you are generally an expert in the field that you've left, and the transition can be pretty scary. So I spent 1 or 2 years doing a job that wasn't the job I thought I would do. I got into maritime ship sales, but then moved into defence and defence outsourcing, and actually spent the last 17 years in the defence market working with like-minded people, I hope, delivering value.
So, I mean, you mentioned there the challenges that ex-service personnel can face when they're kind of sort of leaving and finding a job. Could you sort of tell us a little bit more about that? What are the typical challenges that people face, particularly that they sort of face in sort of 2019?
Sure. So, I think there are a number of sort of macro through to the micro issues. I think one thing I hear quite often is that people say, "Well, do you know what? I haven't had an interview in the last 20 years." My first interview was when I joined the Corps of Royal Engineers or the Royal Navy or the Royal Air Force. So people are nervous and lacking confidence in terms of those initial interview skills. I think there are some other things around the translation of transferable skills and the translation of qualification and competence and experience into language that people in Civvy Street can generally understand. And I think also there tends to be a lack of, often a lack of confidence because people are moving into an environment that they are fundamentally unfamiliar with. It is much less collegiate. It is much less much less supportive than in the armed forces. People then move from having, you know, a number of things done for them and with them to potentially being left to almost fend for themselves. And, you know, often in industry, and I found this when I left the Royal Navy, that, you know, generally when you're in the armed forces, people are generally always pulling the same way in the same direction. And, you know, it's not always the case in industry or in commerce or in the private sector. So I think there's a real challenge around the corporate culture bit, which I think, we and employers have an obligation and a duty to help people out with.
And are there any common misconceptions that employers have about recruiting ex-service personnel?
Yes, I think there are. I think employers can take a view that the experience of ex-service personnel is too narrow, that they often lack some of the broader skills such as, you know, commerciality, experience in finance, experience in procurement. And whilst they assume they're very good at people management, which I think is invariably true, I think employers do and can take a view that they just haven't got the right breadth of experience which they need. And generally, I would take a view that those skills are entirely transferable can be added on, and so I take a slightly different view. But I think there is that piece that a perception around never worked in the private sector, never worked in Civvy Street, hasn't got the right range of skills that industry, commerce, finance, whatever might want.
Obviously, this is a fantastic talent pool of people, and I know that many employers want to be doing a better job at tapping in and recruiting in that talent pool. How should they be thinking and behaving to make sure they're doing this effectively and supporting people in the right way?
So I think there are a number of things that employers can do. I think the first thing is that they need to be more ambitious in the way that the role is defined. And in the requirements around competence, skills and qualifications. So, for example, a requirement around a specific qualification may or may not be required. And often that is a bar to ex-service personnel applying for these jobs because they feel they haven't got the right initial qualification. I think employers need to think about the route to market and channel to market and how they reach into those organizations. We operate through a career transition partnership, through Forces Families, through Officers Associations, through Build Force, through a number of veterans associations. And employers need to, I think, reach into that pool of people differently with a different mindset in terms of what skills do we actually want. And actually, even if somebody hasn't got the exact requirements, can we add those on? Can we put them through development or training in order to give them the last bit of the jigsaw? And I think it's much more about having a more rounded, a more pragmatic view on people rather than going through a very binary 0-1, qualification or competence framework. This is not always easy to transfer or translate those skills from a military background into a civilian one.
And in terms of, you sort of mentioned reaching out through various channels, what would your advice be around the kind of message that would resonate if employers are trying to improve their marketing in this area?
So I think the as you say, and rightly say, the messaging is important. I think the message has to be that employers are an inclusive organization, and that they respect backgrounds, ethnicity, competence, qualification, experience of people. I think employers also, and this is in some ways controversial, but I think employers need to look at the market rate for roles and help service leavers understand their value in the marketplace. And there are two questions. One I alluded to earlier, which is I've never had an interview in 20 years, and that's a problem for me. And the second question that often trips people up is the interview question around, so what's your expectation around salary? And because typically servicemen and women have never worked in that sort of competitive environment where there is maybe a combination of a salary, allowances, potentially a bonus, or potentially some sort of share incentive scheme. It's very difficult for people to say, well, actually, my ideal salary is X thousand pounds. And I think employers need to help people to understand their true value in the marketplace. And sometimes, not trade on potentially this is controversial, but not trade on a discount because there is a lack of certainty around people's value in the marketplace.
I think that's an incredibly important point, and certainly one that I think employers should most definitely be taking on board. Tell us a little bit more about what AIMEE do to recruit and retain ex-service personnel.
So my business is a defence business. So really, for many ex-servicemen and women, it's a home game in that we talk and deal with clients and customers who are in the serving military. So there's an immediate intimacy and understanding around language, culture, expectation, and service delivery. But the rest of AIMEE also reaches out, from our rail sector, our consulting sector, our power utilities businesses. So what we do, as I said earlier, we do talk and reach into the careers and resettlement organizations. So we just had a very successful day with Buildforce about 10 days ago, where we're able to talk to a number of service leavers that Buildforce through Karen and Logan have got together. And we're able to, if you like, it's almost a grown-up milk round for, a milk round which you would have had for university graduates, almost a milk round for servicemen and women. But we reach into service leavers through a number of those service organizations. And even if we haven't got immediate roles which fit those people, with their complete agreement around collection of their personal data and their agreement to store data, we keep CVs on file where we can, where we're able to, with their permission. We're able to look into the future in terms of future roles and future requirements and, reach into people, even if there isn't a role at that time, but, a forward look in terms of future requirements. So I think reaching in through those transition organizations is really important. We do try and take a fairly agnostic view in terms of what the role really requires and try and take a view as to whether the qualifications, competence, experience of service leavers will fit. And if it doesn't fit, but they're close and they're close, what can we do? I should also say, Matt, that this isn't a positive discrimination for service leavers. It's about leveling the playing field such that service leavers have the same opportunity and the same ability to reach in to organisations like AIMEE. So it isn't positive discrimination. It's about leveling a playing field and making sure that opportunities are understood right across the marketplace.
Tim, thank you very much for talking to me.
My pleasure.
My thanks to Tim Redfern. You can subscribe to this podcast in Apple Podcasts or via your podcasting app of choice. Please also follow us on Instagram, search for Recruiting Future to find the show. If you're a Spotify or Pandora user, you can also listen to the show there. You can find all the past episodes at www.rfpodcast.com. On that site, you can subscribe to the mailing list and find out more about working with me. Thanks very much for listening. I'll be back next time, and I hope you'll join me.
This is my show.
Do you love news about LinkedIn, Indeed, Google, and just about every other recruitment tech company out there?
Hell yeah. I'm Chad.
I'm Cheese.
We're the Chad and Cheese Podcast.
All the latest recruiting news and insights are on our show.
Dripping in snark and attitude.
Subscribe today wherever you listen to your podcasts.
We out.